Alrighty, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to public engagement. Do we have who's doing the first informational reports ready to go? All right.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Well, I guess we may as well, though. Thank you.
On the roll for the Public Engagement Committee meeting of March 6, 2017. Director Barrett.
Here.
Director Cutter. Director Joya. Director Haggerty. Director Miley. Director Wagon Connect. Vice Chair Kaplan.
Here.
Chair Ross. We do not have a quorum.
Okay. We will do only informational items until the quorum arrives. Thank you.
Ready? Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Past week, we concluded this year's Winter Spare the Earth season, and so staff would like to provide an update of how this season went, and Lisa Fasano will present the item.
Thank you.
Good morning, Vice Chair Kaplan, members of the Public Engagement Committee. The Winter Spare the Earth program, we started our messaging in August this year, which is earlier than normal, talking about the Wood Smoke Grant Program. We spread the word about the Air District's grant incentives available. We conducted outreach through a combination of print ads in local publications, social media posts, door hangers in select high-impact communities throughout the region. We sent out a press release about the opening of the grant program and received good press coverage of the grant program opening. And we established an email list of interested applicants and sent them information and updates on when the program would open. Print ads ran in 12 local publications throughout the Bay Area. Nearly 1,700 door hangers were distributed in August to four communities in Marin County that are heavily impacted by wood smoke in Woodacre, Forest Knoll, San Geronimo, and Lagunitas. And then we had a number of social media posts that we put both Twitter and Facebook around the region to ensure that we were getting good coverage. And I apologize because this actual map does not show you all the coverage. This one looks like it didn't get updated, but our coverage went further out into the region than just along the coast. We received more than 1,300 grant applications and have approved over 900 so far. Funding was awarded to both homes in high wood smoke impact regions and non-high impact regions. We will provide a more complete update on the wood smoke grant incentive program at the March 15th board meeting. As far as our advertising for the Winter Spare the Earth campaign this year, this was the third season of advertising that featured creative, making a connection between wood smoke and cigarette smoke. Advertising included TV, radio, print, online, and social media ads. We did Pandora streaming audio ads, transit ads, digital billboards, bus shelters, grocery cart ads, and our very popular bike outreach at farmers markets and outdoor fairs throughout the region. Ads ran in English, Spanish, Mandarin, Cantonese, Vietnamese, and Punjabi, and we continue to use the tagline, "It's your air, protect it." Advertising was diverse and geographically broad throughout the region. Broadcast and cable TV, radio, streaming ads, transit, online, and print ads ran regionally for both general market and non-English speaking audiences. Transit ads ran on Golden Gate Transit in Marin, Sonoma counties, on VTA in Santa Clara County, on LAFTA Wheels in the Tri-Valley, and on AC Transit in Alameda County. There were billboards on the peninsula, digital billboards near the San Mateo Bridge, outdoor banners in Marin, and transit shelters in Contra Costa County. We had grocery cart ads in the South Bay and ran digital ads on the San Jose Sharks Arena. And Craig the Bike Guy and team rode through 33 communities throughout the Bay Area this season. The Treasure Island banner was up for all 4 months of our winter season, and we did door-to-door outreach in five communities, reaching over 1,400 residents. This year, we did Cotati, Mountain View, Pittsburgh, Berkeley, and San Mateo. And at this point, with our door-to-door campaigns, we have hit over half of the cities within the 101 cities throughout the nine-county region. This is the ninth season that we conducted our door-to-door outreach campaign, walking through neighborhoods and talking to people about the wood-burning rule and asking if they were willing to take a brief survey. We were able to reach, as I mentioned, nearly 1,500 homes, and we achieved a 23% response rate collecting surveys from residents. Either they mailed them in or they gave them to us right when we were at the door. This is a summary of the number of homes and surveys we completed in each neighborhood this season. It's important to note that our Cotati numbers were down a little bit due to the hilly neighborhood conditions that we walked, which slowed the team down a bit because we ended up having, and we also ended up having a little bit smaller team. But in general, we have had solid reach from homes that we've knocked on doors throughout the region for the years that we've completed this. Because of the rainy season this winter, we only had a total of 7 Winter Spare the Air alerts, which resulted in the following coverage statistics that you see here. We still continue to get good coverage when we call a Winter Spare the Air alert, even though this season we only called the 7. We were able to generate over $3 million in publicity value for the Winter Spare the Air stories that did run. Reporters are now posting and tweeting, and when we have alerts, which help drive awareness of the need not to burn. And we organized a Chinese media briefing held in district offices on December 1st, and we were able to generate media coverage and more Chinese media throughout the region this season as well. Winter Spare the Air surpassed 10,000 followers on Twitter this winter and has 15,000 more likes and followers on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. Our most popular social sites are on Twitter, followed by Facebook. This winter season, we expanded our social media presence to reach our target audience by including more Winter Spare the Air messaging on the negative effects of wood burning. And additionally, we significantly increased the number of impressions when a Winter Spare the Air alert was called due to posting in language. We did Spanish and Chinese, and posting alert messaging before an alert was called on the day and on the day of the alert. So we're actually being able to better utilize our social media and have it gain us greater reach out into the region. We conducted 1,300 Winter Spare the Air phone interview surveys this year. They were all in English. As a reminder, the surveys in Spanish and Chinese will be conducted in this next winter season. Here you see the great survey results that we received for the season. And our awareness remains high. People still support the ban on wood burning. And we continue to generally get fairly good feedback as far as phone interview surveys. So we're quite pleased with these. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, I just have one point of clarification. When you were talking about the number of applications you had,
slide 4.
Thank you.
For the grants?
Yes. Thank you. Is the difference between the applications approved and received, is that because the other ones weren't qualified, or is there a backlog? Or
I'm going to ask Karen Skolnick, who's the director
Thank
of
you.
The grants program.
Hi, good morning. The difference really has more to do with dropout after awards were made. We actually have very few applications that don't meet the eligibility requirement. Just to give you an idea, out of over 1,400 applications, there was probably fewer than 5 that didn't meet the requirements. So really these are folks that either chose not to move forward with the project while we were asking for more information, or who just failed to complete their project for whatever reason, or asked to withdraw later on.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Actually, you can hang out because I have a follow-up question. It says we've awarded about $2.5 million. How much was allocated for this?
So we've allocated $3 million. The board allocated $3 million for this program. We are continuing to review applications. That's not shown here. We'll be discussing that more in the next couple weeks at the full board meeting. But essentially, we have probably 300 to 500 applications that we're continuing to review, okay, and another 1,000 applications plus additional folks that meet the highly impacted residents criteria who we continue to invite them to apply. So while this shows that we haven't awarded all of the funds, that's because it's still in flux, and we hope to be completed with the award process in the next maybe 2 months.
Oh, wonderful. So, and this is, the $3 million was intended to be for this fiscal year?
It was sort of a one-time program, and it was for whatever length of cycle it lasted, yes.
Okay. And so in the budget for the next fiscal year, will we be discussing adding more money?
I think there will be some discussion at the next board meeting as to whether there should be another cycle and what that cycle might look like.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, great program and obviously very important in terms of reducing the emissions. So thank you. Any other questions on this item? All righty. Thank you so much. Does staff want to add anything further on this item?
No, Madam Chair, that's it.
Okay, then let's go to the next informational item. Thank you.
Great. Luz Gomez, our community engagement manager, will give you an update on some of our recent community engagement work.
Thank you. So good morning, Vice Chair Kaplan and members of the committee. My name is Luz Gomez, and I co-manage the community engagement program with David Ralston, who's here as well. Today, we will give you an update about some of the activities that we have been busy with in the last few months. So, next slide. I can do it. Thank you. So, this map shows you a snapshot of some of the places where we've been, and we've either been holding open houses, workshops, listening sessions, or a number of community meetings. So as you can see, we've tried to cover a big part of our territory, and this has taken place over the last few months. Now, one of the key tasks of community engagement is to provide opportunities for early engagement with key stakeholders in our rural development process. Most recently, we've been very busy with efforts to make sure that industry and community stakeholders are aware of our proposed Rule 1118, a rule that aims to reduce health risks from toxic air contaminants at existing facilities. The Air District anticipates that hundreds of Bay Area facilities may be impacted by this rule, so therefore we've worked to do significant outreach about this particular rule. For example, we sent a mailer to over 1,000 facilities. We also invited industry and community groups to early stakeholders meetings before the draft rule was even released. And we also held 2 scoping meetings and a series of 6 open houses throughout the Bay Area last November. Here you see some pictures of that round of open houses and workshops. What was unique about it is that it was a hybrid approach. We had received some feedback that people really wanted to hear a presentation during our open houses. So this time we did both. We had posters where the community had a chance to interact one-on-one with our staff. And we also did a presentation where people sat down and then was able to participate in question and answer session. We also invited members, partners, including the Lung Association and our Spare the Air resource teams, to come along with us. And here I'll give it over to David to talk a little bit about 2 very good community meetings we held.
Thank you, Luz. In addition to open houses, we also have issue-specific community meetings, which we find very effective. So a couple that we highlight, one is in Cupertino with the Lehigh stakeholder groups to discuss, basically get a round table, bring folks together, bring our staff in, and we have very productive ongoing quarterly meetings with those stakeholders. And on the other side of the bay, we've had a meeting with Pacific Steel Casting in Berkeley, where we also combined, we had a permit meeting, and then we broke it into a community round table discussion, which was also very effective.
Also, we've been working with 350 Bay Area, inviting them to small meetings with our staff here at our headquarters, typically after climate protection meetings, committee meetings. And we've been able to build, I believe, a pretty strong partnership with 350 Bay Area. We've also been at separate community meetings between staff and CBE and the coalition that they have built around Rule 1216 as well as Rules 1118 and 13.1. So now I'll transition to talking about some of the outreach efforts for our very exciting Spare the Air, Cool the Climate plan. We've been thrilled to be a part of the outreach for this exciting initiative. Since the previous draft of the plan came out last year, our team has worked with the planning folks to bring experts and community members to participate in working groups. We've helped craft messaging, and we've hosted two rounds of open houses. At the end of January and the first part of February, we held 8 open houses, including one in Cupertino, San Francisco, San Rafael, Yountville, Walnut Creek, the Dublin-Pleasanton area, San Jose, and Oakland. At the end of January and the first week of February, that's when that happened. We had over 175 attendees. I think that's kind of a new record for open houses. And we had 54 written comments, and these is aside from other comments that have been coming in through email. But that's a significant number of comments for people actually sitting down and writing down comments on the plan. So overall, the open houses were very well received. Here are a couple of quotes from our evaluation forms. What was the most valuable part of this open house? So people really loved speaking with the presenters, being able to take their time absorbing the lots of information, engaging with staff to learn about the new plan and operations at the Air District, meeting local people involved in climate change, great networking, and everything. We also asked what could be improved, and a couple of the comments that were salient were that they wanted more members of the public to be at these open houses because they thought it was such a good opportunity to get the word out. They also encouraged us to do a general orientation or overview first and then switch to the open house format, so we'll certainly consider doing that next time. Folks wanted better snacks, and they also wanted us to take advantage of advertising through the local cities whenever we do something like this. Here we have a picture of Terry Trumbull, who's on our hearing board with a group of students from San Jose State. It's kind of nice that he teaches, so he has a nice captive audience. He brought a great number of students to our San Jose open house. And here you'll see pictures of our staff interacting with the community. We've tried to make these as interactive as possible. So you see a computer station where people were able to look at their own carbon footprint or the carbon footprint of their neighborhoods, as well as posters and tables. We invited local groups that are involved in climate protection, like Sustainable Silicon Valley or others, to come and have a table at our events. 350 Bay Area had a table at all of the open houses, as well as our Spare the Air resource teams. Now we'll talk a little bit about Open Air Forum. Some of you may remember this from last year. We launched this online civic engagement tool that allows the community to interact with us 24/7 at their pleasure. And I wanna show you more a video that we've launched on Open Air Forum just last week. In fact, some of you probably got an email from us saying that we would love for you to help get the word out about Open Air Forum. So thank you to those of you who have done that and got the word out to your communities. So we're going to watch a brief video. I want to give kudos to our communications team who pulled it together. It's a 2-minute video about the Clean Air Plan, Spare the Air, Cool the Climate. Let's play it.
This is what we're protecting. This is what we're creating. Carbon-free world, where how we live and travel is healthy for us and our planet, and our production and consumption sustain themselves by using resources responsibly, where green innovation defines the public health and wealth of our economy, and we join together to provide a healthy, sustainable world for our children and future generations. The Bay Area is the world's 21st largest economy, with the brightest minds and a culture of innovation, We have a track record of success, protecting public health and the climate. We have a plan for the future. By visualizing a post-carbon world, we're better able to identify the policies and actions that are necessary to get us there. In 2050, the buildings where we live, work, learn, and shop will produce rather than use energy. Our transportation sector will be transformed, powered by clean energy and people. The Bay Area economy will lead the world in the production and use of clean energy technologies. With our leadership and resolve, we will win the race to 2050, when our world will be sustainable and full of possibilities.
Perfect. Thank you for that. So now you have, through the email that we sent you, this opportunity to share this with your constituents. And I think it's a pretty, it's an engaging and easy way to share the world, share with the world the information about the plan, because it's pretty complex. And if you saw the documents, they're, you know, multiple, like an, at least an inch thick. But this is like an easy condensed way. It has, it also has pictures of all the posters that we brought with us to the open houses. So it's like infographic and easy to understand. So I definitely encourage you to get the word out about that. And now I'm going to bring David up again to talk about a really inspiring thing that just happened.
Well, what we found is one of the ways to get to this carbon dioxide free and clean air future is really for us to engage our communities directly on the ground in actions that are creating these mitigations and adaptations. And towards that, I'm just highlighting here a project. We mentioned it at the last board retreat, but this is a urban forest installation project along the 880 freeway in East Oakland, in deep East Oakland. This is actually one of our care communities and one of the more cumulative impacted, pollution impacted communities in the entire Bay Area. So we worked with 300 volunteers, CAL FIRE, US EPA, community groups, urban relief to plant trees, about 100 trees in this asphalt parking lot next to the freeway where these kids play. And this is a start, and in, you know, 5-10 years, it's going to become a buffer. EPA came in to help measure the effect of reducing pollution as a vegetated buffer. So these types of projects, people were really excited about. The EPA went into the classrooms, they talked with the kids, they were just totally jazzed and excited about what this meant. They left a monitor at the school for the continued science around air quality. So these are the types of projects we want to keep continuing working with our constituents throughout the Bay Area.
Thank you, David. And then you also see listening sessions listed. In the past few months, we've done two listening sessions in Contra Costa County, one in English with a number of agencies that serve limited English-speaking populations, and one that was conducted entirely in Spanish. So with that, I'd like to conclude and thank you for your attention and welcome any comments or questions you might have.
Thank you. On the what can be improved, which is on slide 8,
yes.
You know, the idea that more people of the public come see it, well, yeah, I mean, it's always the issue, but getting them there is really difficult. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me while you were giving your presentation that in Petaluma we have a community access channel, and I'm sure that other communities do as well. And it might be a nice thing to try and partner with them ahead of time so that they can be simultaneously showing it rather than in a delay loop, because then people could either email in or tweet or whatever any questions they might have during the overview or the presentation that our staff makes. And maybe that live streaming or live broadcast would be only for that section, because it doesn't work so much when people break into smaller groups.
Right.
But it's just an idea.
That's a great idea.
Because then it also can be reshown locally.
That's right. Good idea.
Sure. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a community cable access station as well, and so either if it would be, it could be a live feed of something going on, but also if you've recorded the presentation, and we have a recording or are going to be making one anyway, we could be happy to arrange to have it be shown on Oakland Access as well. I think that's a great idea. And the so you said the open air forum is the online where people go and put in their feedback directly.
Exactly.
And it says that closes March 9th, like this week?
Yeah, so this was like the one more opportunity that we gave for folks to give it to give feedback. In reality, the comment period has been open since January. And so, you know, we've wanted to give folks one more opportunity. What's good about Open Air Forum is we could choose to leave it up beyond March 9th. Without necessarily the opportunity for comment, because we really do want staff to get to work on incorporating comments that they've received so far because of deadlines. But the opportunity to continue to view it and see all the posters and see the video can continue to live on. So that can be arranged through Open Air Forum as well, because we recognize that was a bit of a short time frame.
How many people have commented through the online forum?
So far, we've had about 41 visitors since last week. And
It only launched last week?
Yeah.
And it closes this week?
Yeah. And again, this was like the way we see this is one more opportunity to what has already been given, right? So, you know, we can certainly have a conversation about this, but the feeling is that because we've done the open houses, we've done, you know, we've sent emails and e-blasts about the opportunity to comment, and actually a lot of comments have already come through all the other avenues, that this was just one more avenue for comment that we wanted to make available. Now, what's cool about this one is the ability to look at all the posters, and we can definitely talk about a way to, you know, I'm thinking that it wouldn't hurt to continue to have comments on what's there, but maybe it becomes, what do you think about Open Air Forum and how it's being used as a tool by the Air District? But we're open to feedback on that.
So is the March 9th date that you can't, for the close of comments on the Open Air Forum, is that the same date as the formal close of the public comment period generally?
Exactly.
So that's why it's that date.
That is why it's
that
date.
That's the official technical close of comment
that
period
That is
date.
The official technical. I know. We struggled with this because it's still a tool that we're learning how to use, and it took a little longer than we would have liked to get it up and going. But what I do like is the ability that even what I'm going to work with our staff is, even after the public comment period has closed, I'd like for it to continue to live on so people can see the video, so people can see the posters and be able to interact with the tool.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Director Kaplan and Director Cutler. Okay. I apologize for my marathon ride in here, but it was longer than normal. Thank you. Just a couple questions, Mr. Bunger. Is the how long was the comment period, and was that I'm sure it was the legal minimum.
I think it's more than the legal minimum.
Okay. By how much?
What was the number?
Mr. Chair, the plan was released in January 11th, and so that launched the opportunity for the public to review it and provide feedback. There's no mandated comment period in state law. It's sort of the board's and the district's discretion, but we wanted to provide this. We were allowing over 2 months for the public to provide input, but we wanted to provide have some sort of due date so that we can then digest the comments we've received so that the final plan that we bring to you in April reflects all that input. So we need a little bit of time just to absorb and reflect upon all the comments. So we think 2 months provides a good opportunity, but as Luz has pointed out, there are parts of Open Air Forum that we think can continue indefinitely to provide other engagement opportunities.
Has the comment period been commensurate with other comment periods historically for this type of, for this plan?
Yes, it has. Okay.
One thing that, and I might be picky, but then I might just be picky. But yeah, you know, we are a health-based organization, and we base it on science, and I just kind of cringe at carbon free. Being that we are carbon based organisms that might be construed as Malthusian, if you take it to the nth degree. So maybe the next iteration. So I imagine that there are some average people that have some science knowledge go, well, you can't have carbon. You're not going to get to carbon free. It just, you know, unless you go into the vacuum of space, it's just not going to happen. So might we be better served to consider also maybe a reduced carbon or some other phrase work that is actually scientifically correct and actually realistically attainable without annihilation?
Let us take that back, Mr. Chair, and think about that.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, great to go.
Well, just because it's so fun to hear someone throw around the word Malthusian in a board meeting, I would suggest also, you know, since we know that we're also working on PM and methane, that maybe we want to use a word like lower pollution or something, since in any case, if we're going to not say carbon-free, which, as you point out, is not possible, that, you know, given that we do also work on PM and methane and things like that, maybe something about lowering pollution. And then I was curious with this video, is the video you showed is intended primarily as an introduction to the plan as opposed to sort of general public outreach?
Yes.
Because I know it said the Bay Area will be XXX, but it didn't ever say, and therefore you should do whatever, right? So for the member of the public seeing it, if the message is you should bike and carpool and take transit, right, it's more a we will, which I worry a little bit suggests that the person watching doesn't have to do anything. So if we're going to be creating more videos for sort of more general public outreach, I think it would be useful to give people, you know, and here's what you can do. Or maybe that's another different video, right?
So we are working, this was just a vision video that kind of covered the overview of the executive summary, but we are working on 2 to possibly 3 additional videos that Great. Are really going to be more the how-to or nuts and bolts
Awesome.
Of how to achieve the things in the plan. Buildings and energy will be one, transportation will be another, and we're talking about whether we're going to do the consumables piece. But we're looking at that and looking at how we're going to present that in an accessible way, but basically a roadmap to here's what you got to do.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent suggestion. Yeah, it's a very good piece. Any Chamber of Commerce would be proud to have that kind of quality and message. It's very nice. Any other questions before we move on? Okay. Thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And in my absence, I guess this was our first, other than public, we did public comment, so we don't have a quorum, so I guess we would be on to number 4.
Mr. Chair, actually, we've moved on to where this is item 6. We've accomplished 2.
Okay.
Right. So we're 2 down, 2 to go. So last week we concluded another very successful youth conference, YES Conference Youth for Environment Sustainability, and our other community engagement manager, David Ralston, will give you an update or a wrap-up of the YES Conference.
Good morning, Chair Ross and Vice Chair Kaplan and committee members. David Ralston,
good morning,
Community Engagement. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce and invite up Ms. Rosine Salmo, who actually on 2 months' notice stepped in and admirably and very successfully coordinated this year's YES Conference on behalf of the Air District. So thank you, Rosine.
Good morning, Chair Ross and members of the Public Engagement Committee. I will be sharing with you information regarding the Youth for the Environment and Sustainability YES Conference. So the YES Conference is part of MTC Air District Spare the Air Youth Program that was established in 2010. And Spare the Air Youth Program strives to educate, inspire, and empower youth and families around the 9 counties in the Bay Area to carpool, bike, walk, take public transportation, and also promote sustainability. The first YES Conference was held in 2013, so this year marks the 4th successful YES Conference. And we have doubled the number of attendees and tripled the number of presentations since last year. this year, the conference was held on Saturday, February 25th, at the Bay Area Metro Center, and we had nearly 500 attendees from all over the nine counties in the Bay Area, and we also received a lot of donations from organizations, restaurants, and even the 49ers. Targeted outreach to youth commissions, youth advisory councils, youth organizations, environmental and youth events, as well as presenting at science and environmental classes in middle schools and high schools throughout the Bay Area, and social media. Attendees enjoyed all of our speakers. Director Liz Niss gave the opening welcome. The young lady on the upper right, Gina Espinoza from Santa Rosa, she actually was our Master of Ceremonies and also our keynote speaker. The second keynote speaker was Kevin Ho from San Mateo, and the third keynote speaker was Nadia Ralston from Oakland. Social media comments and emails reflected how inspirational all speakers were. This year, we received a large number of student presentations. We had 48 presentations with about 200 presenters. We had two poster sessions and 12 exhibitors. Students' presentations were extremely well received, generated a great deal of dialogue and sharing of ideas. The feedback we received via evaluations, letters, text, and social media were overwhelmingly positive. We even received emails from over 30 organizations and students asking if they can help us plan 2018 conference. Next year, we're looking forward to continue working with the youth volunteers, continuing our partnership with MTC, growing the number of attendees and sponsors, building on outreach lessons, and putting on another great conference. Thank you again, and welcome any questions.
Well, thank you, Rosine. Very nice. It's always uplifting, but it seems to be getting better and better. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, we thank you very much, and congratulations on another successful YES conference.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosine. Thank you, David. Okay. Item 7. Renewal of contract for Spare the Air advertising and messaging campaigns. Christine Rosales. Well, we'll take a presentation on it because I know we don't have an action ability.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Ross and members of the Public Engagement Committee. Today I'm requesting the renewal of the contract for the Spare the Air advertising and messaging campaigns. The Communications Office completed the RFP process for the Spare the Air Advertising Media Relations, Social Media, Employer Outreach, and Public Opinion Surveys in February of 2015. The RFP covered 3 years, and the Communications Office has requested board approval of the contract each year. This is the third and final year of the contract under this RFP. In 2015, we received three proposals from KHB Marketing, Mental Marketing, and O'Rourke. Air District staff with expertise in advertising, media relations, outreach, and social media reviewed and scored each proposal. All three firms were selected for interviews. Proposals were evaluated for their technical expertise, the related skill and experience of the team, how they approached their proposal, as well as cost considerations. Finally, proposals received points for their references and if they were a green business. Here you see each firm's proposal and interview scores. The O'Rourke team scored significantly higher than KHB in mental marketing for both the proposal and the interview, and was selected as the contractor for the Spare the Air campaigns. The O'Rourke team has consistently exceeded our expectations. Their creative approach to advertising and social has shown results, and all on time and within budget. As the lead contractor, O'Rourke brings extensive social marketing and advertising experience for the public sector. Their subcontractor team also brings decades of experience in scientific surveys, multilingual employer and transportation outreach, as well as cutting-edge advertising and design. We are recommending the approval to execute a contract with O'Rourke, Inc. for the fiscal year ending 2018 for the Spare the Air Everyday campaign, broken down as you see here, and for the winter Spare the Air campaign for a total amount not to exceed $2,019,000. That concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Christine. Any questions? Yeah, Director Kaplan.
Thank you. So this is a renewal, or this is?
Yes. So we the money was approved, nearly $6 million back in 2015, and the board asked us to come back and get approval for each contract year to execute the contract.
So for the benefit of our newer members, so to synopsize it, we give out a three-year contract that's renewable every year, reviewed and renewed pending the passing of the criteria. This is year three, isn't it?
It's year three, correct.
Coming up on year three.
Excellent. And so one of the things that I'm interested in us doing more of, which is part of why I asked to serve on this committee, is more targeted online outreach that connects people directly to taking an action. I don't know if folks are familiar with the research that's been done around getting people to vote or take other actions, but that, you know, a lot of our messaging historically has been like a banner on the bridge saying you should spare the air, right? But not a lot of direct action. Like if you're going to do an online ad about you should take transit with like click here, here's your transit map, here's your transit system, or you should carpool, click here, and then here's the link that directly gets you into the carpool matching services. And so is that something that they have been doing and I just haven't seen them so much? Or
yes, we've been doing that through social media. So we have a website called sdatips.org, and people are asked to either carpool, take transit, or do any number of actions, and they can click on the link, and that website takes them to a page that allows them to go to their county, and then it gives a list of all the different transit options as well as incentives in their area.
Oh, okay, so it's a multi-step.
It is.
And then that's from driven by a Facebook ad or?
We have Facebook ads as well as other ads that run on social media sites. We have mobile ads that have been really great. They've worked very well for us. So we're continuing with those and putting more money into those.
Awesome. So maybe can we have those emailed to us or something?
Sure,
so
absolutely.
We can all get a chance to take a look at them and see how they work and stuff. And then if I'm interested in potentially in the future exploring us doing more of that type of thing, does that require then changing this contract, or does this allocate all of the money that we potentially have available, or if 2 or 3 months from now we wanted to authorize doing some more of something, would we need to revisit this, or we could add that on?
Well, what you're describing is really social marketing, and that's a big part of what we do. Throughout the year, if something is working in our advertising and something's not as effective, we shift the resources a bit to accommodate that. So we kind of already do that. Now, if there's more money you want to do beyond that, we would either get approval from the board or the public engagement committee to do that.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Great. So I'll just look forward to looking more closely at what it is we're already doing before I make further suggestions about what we might add to it. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
It's always good to ask. Yes, Director Barrett.
So just a procedural question. Since we don't have a quorum, do we just recommend to the main board that we didn't have a quorum? But
we just kind of pass on that if anybody objects, kind of.
Okay, yeah, all right, we can
nobody
do that.
Objected. Everybody, a lot of head nodding.
Okay, I mean, I just didn't want to see this have to come back to another meeting before it gets to the main, to go forward. because it sounds like we're on the right track. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Good question. And very good work.
Thank you.
Continue to be impressed and continue to look forward to work with our vendors who are doing a bang-up job. And I look forward to them communicating to, you know, solutions easily accessible to carbon-based life forms.
Silicon-based life forms?
No, that's why I get worried, you know, because it sounds like autonomous life forms saying, get rid of carbon-free. We got to get rid of those pesky carbon organisms. Okay, AI, yes. So, okay, any other committee members or comments? Or committee member comments? No? Well, good. I've stretched it out as long as I can to justify my two-hour ride in here. But it was well worth it. So thank you for taking over, and thank you to the staff for preparing this. And we're adjourned until our next meeting at the Call of the Chair. Thank you.